Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom. Trumpets will sound, and all of the dead shall rise. Christ is made in the skies, going where no one dies. Heavenward bound.
Let the church, whole church, say amen.
Amen.
God is good.
The numbers are few, but God is still true.
God is good all the time. That's right. And all the time, God is good. This morning, I'm so glad to see each and every one of you. It's good to be here. It's good to be able to come out to serve the Lord in spirit and in truth once again. We hope that you have come for no other reason than to serve the Lord our God, which is in heaven. If you came to play bingo, you're at the wrong house. If you came to hear a few jokes crack, you're in the wrong place. If you came to serve God, you're in the right place. So let us remember to serve God in spirit and to be thankful to Him that we may serve Him in spirit and in truth. Let us take a moment as we go to God in prayer. O righteous Father, which art in heaven, we have come this morning because you have gave us privilege to come. We have come because you have enabled us to come. We are here because your Son came down to this world, hung, bled, and died that we may have this opportunity to come, O Lord, and to have everlasting life. We thank you this morning for each and every member in this congregation, and we pray in particular, O Heavenly Father, for those who have been here on the battlefield for a long time, O Lord, not just by age, but by service as well, O Lord. We thank you for the leaders of this congregation, and we pray for them and their families. We pray for those who have taken part in the services for them and their families as well. And we thank you for each and every member. We pray this morning, Father, for those who may be sick and shut in. We pray that their health gets better, that they may be able to come and worship with us once again. Then, Father, in heaven, we ask you that if it be your will that you would be with these services this morning as we move from the one portion to the next portion. We pray that everything we do can be found decent and acceptable in thy sight. We pray this morning, O Heavenly Father, for those who may have lost loved ones. We pray that you would strengthen those families and be with them as well, O Lord. And we pray, O Lord, for those who are raising up children. We pray that you give them the strength they need to continue to raise up the children. And Father, we pray and ask you to be with us this morning as we go now into the furtherance of this service. We thank you that your Son hung, died, and bled on yonder cross, O Lord. Now, Father, which art in heaven, we thank you for each and every blessing that you have provided us with. We thank you for each and every breath that you have allowed us to breathe. And we ask that you continue to give us our health and our strength. Be with us now, Father, as we move on. In the name of your Son, Jesus, let us all say amen.
Amen.
This morning from the book of Isaiah, chapter 38, the verses are 1 through 5. If you've been in the church for any length of time, you've heard this sermon before. And even if you've been no further than Stony Island here, you've heard this sermon before as well. If you have been in the church house for any length of time, you know the story of Hezekiah. Let us reread those scriptures. In chapter 38, in verse number 1, the Bible says, "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy Father. I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years.
This morning, here is a message from God. Today's message is dealing with the subject that we all eventually must face, and that is death. Admittedly, most of us may not receive the warning or the message that this man got, this man Hezekiah, but we all shall be go in a like manner. From this lesson, we may all be able to learn something. In living life, you have learned a few things, and I too have learned a few things about life and about death. In my years on this earth, I have learned that things like age have nothing to do with death. I have learned and I have come to believe, many have learned and come to believe that the younger one is, the longer he has to live. Not necessarily so. Male or female, we still all must go in time. And most important thing that I have learned is that we all need to get prepared, stay prepared, and then help others to prepare themselves as well. So just who are we talking about this morning? Who was this man, or who is this man that God sent a message to? Hezekiah was the man's name, and he was a godly king. Unlike his father Ahaz, who was weak and dove into idol worship, Hezekiah was a better and a more God-fearing king than his father. He opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them during his first year of reign. He took office when he was about 25 years old. But I want you to take note of our text in verse number one, where the Bible says, "In those days Hezekiah was sick unto death. And Isaiah, the prophet, the son of Amoz, came and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." Death, according to our text, came up or approached this man, Hezekiah. Hezekiah became sick, and I may as well just put this out up front. Because you are a member of the Lord's body, because you are a godly child, doesn't mean you're not going to get sick. It means that we have an ally when we do get sick. But according to the Bible in the Old Testament here in Isaiah chapter 38 and verse number 1, Hezekiah was sick unto death. Hezekiah turned his face in verse number 2 toward the wall and prayed to the Lord. So let us for a few minutes talk about just who this man Hezekiah was. He was a king, as I said, and he was better than his father. Being a man that knew God, his first reaction to hearing the message was to go to the Lord in prayer. For he knew prayer worked, for he had been a praying man before. In 2 Kings, he prayed that he might defeat the Assyrians. So he presented to God his list of accomplishments in chapter 2 of the text. In chapter 2 of the text, you notice what he says. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord. So the message was direct and to the point. And if you notice the message simply said, just tell him to get his house in order because he was going to die. And how many of us have already prepared to die? I don't want to see a show of hand because I'm afraid I might not see any hands. Because most of us don't like to prepare for death. Most of us will prepare for our old age. We'll prepare for our life after work. We'll prepare for our retirement. But none of us like to prepare for death. But death is surely coming. And death is not something that's going to happen to some of us. Death is going to happen to all of us. So he told Isaiah to tell this man Hezekiah. He said, tell him to set his house in order, for thou shalt not live. Setting one's house in order does not mean spring cleaning, nor does it mean painting up and sprucing up. It means one needs to get their heart right with God. It means to set your affairs in order that others may know the top from the bottom. Hezekiah did what the Word of God tells us all to do in James chapter 5 and verse number 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. And so Hezekiah began to pray in verse number 2. But look at what he said in verse number 3.
He said, and remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sorely. Sore. That means he was really crying. He was into his tears, in other words. So when you are sick, the Bible tells us, when we are afflicted, to pray. While his prayer listed his accomplishments, he still remembered to whom his plea was addressed. Here was the afflictions of man visiting upon one of God's very own. And this helps us to understand that even though we are his, suffering is but a moment or a little bit away from us. Suffering comes to all of us at some time or another. And there are those who may be able to say, well, I've lived X number of years and I've never really suffered. Well, just hold on for a little while. Just hold on. So when Hezekiah began to realize that his house was not in order, and he had been instructed to get his house in order. And that's when he starts saying to the Lord, remember me now, Lord. I don't want you to just remember me yesterday or just tomorrow, but remember me now. Oh, Lord, I beseech thee how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Just as in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 45, God maketh the sun to shine on the evil and the good, as well as the rain to come upon all of us. He sends the rain upon all of us, the well, the good and the unjust, the just and the unjust. Getting one's house in order also means that God must be your full-time Savior and not a part-time conversation piece. In other words, don't allow God to come into your life when the time seems just about right. For example, don't just talk about God when you come to church, but put Him first even around non-believers as well. It means our lives should be like Joshua said in Joshua chapter 24, around verse number 15, where he said, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. In other words, you have to make up your mind, because you can't serve two gods at the same time. You can't serve God and mammon at the same time. Choosing not to serve the God of the Bible puts one's house not in order. Does not put one's house in order. We get our house in order by doing and not by saying. Because I tell you I'm a Christian doesn't necessarily make me a Christian. I must show it by my faith and by my works. Because faith without works is dead. And then there are those who say, well, I'm the best Christian you've ever known. Bar none. But that's what you say. But then when you think about it, what are you doing to prove yourself a Christian? See, you don't have to let me know how much of a Christian you are. Because, see, I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you in. I can't send you to either or. Either and or. But if you say that you are a Christian, you ought to act like a Christian. Acting like a Christian means that you are following the rules that God has put in place for us to follow. Putting one's house in order is what we all need to do. Putting one's house in order, we need to do that before we leave this world. And it means much more than getting the bills paid, making sure that the insurance is paid up. It means searching the depths of one's heart. For us today, we may not get a message like Hezekiah received. We may not get sick like he was sick. We may get sick like he was sick. But many times, because we are sick doesn't necessarily mean we are dying right then and right there. When we get sick, there are some folk who say that when they get sick, they believe that they're dying. Well, I believe that I'm dying whether I get sick or not. I believe that I'm dying even if I'm a healthy individual. I know for a fact that I'm dying. So sickness does not predicate dying. Sickness just is simply saying your body is not functioning the way it should. So look what the Bible says once again In verse number 1, the Bible says, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Now, first of all, you got to see something there. God didn't beat around the bush when he sent that message. He delivered a message to Isaiah to deliver directly to Hezekiah. He said, let him know that he needs to get his house in order. Let him know to set thy house in order. Let him know that thou shalt die and not live. Let him know that death is along, coming along the way. And I tell you something, church. If your house is not in order, you need to make sure that you're getting it in order. You need to make sure that your house is set up and ready, because you never know what day or what hour you may be leaving this world. The time to prepare for death is before death gets here, because upon death, there's no preparation time left. You're out of preparation time. So look at verse number 2. It says, then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord. Now tell me if there is a better time in your life to pray than when you've been told you're about to die. I think not. I think that that's one of the times you ought to go to prayer in sincerity and in honesty. Going to prayer. Going to prayer means that you are asking the Lord to bless you and to get you through this situation that you're in. But yes, there is a time when we need to learn to accept the fact that death is coming. And when you're 20, you probably don't think as much about death as you do when you're 50. When you're 50, you begin to think that my days are fewer in front of me than they are behind me. You begin to say to yourself, I know I need to get my house in order. Or at least you ought to be saying to yourself, I need to get my house in order. So when Hezekiah realized what the Lord's message was saying, and the message was clear and to the point, it didn't beat around the bush. It simply said to get his house in order. And then he said in verse number 3 once again, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. But then I like verse number 4, because verse number 4 sends an answer. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, go, look at verse number 5. Go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. Now, I know what some of us might say, 15 years doesn't seem like a lot of time. But I tell you, if I was laying at death's door, 15 years would seem like a lifetime to me. I would tell you that 15 years means that I've got 365 days times 15 yet left to live. I would believe what God said, and I would thank God. I don't think I'd ever get through thanking God until the day that I died for those extra 15 years. 15 more years, and I call them extra years because they had already been slated to be cut off, and God gave him 15 more. You know when somebody said, do you have any extra money? Well, that's what I consider these days to be, these 15 years to be extra years. But Hezekiah was not without mistakes. He made mistakes. We all probably now know the result, as we just indicated, of Hezekiah's prayer. God delivered the message to him and gave him those 15 years. Even sometimes great men of God forget, or perhaps they at worst point, they ignore or go against their blessings. Hezekiah has now been cured of his affliction. And is on his way to live more years than he had before. He is now around 40 years of age about this time. This is where we find this same king somewhat failing to render to God his due. Instead, he allowed the enemy into his home. You have to be careful, church. You have to be careful who you let into your home on a daily basis. And I know most of us don't trust letting anyone into our homes. But we have to be very careful, especially when it comes to the word of the Lord. You have to be careful whom you are letting into your house. He let the enemy into his house and he became prideful and his heart became lifted up, according to 2 Chronicles chapter 32, around verse number 25. In other words, he began to listen more to the praises of men than being thankful to the Lord. He began to look more at his goods than to recognizing God. He showed everything God had blessed him with to outsiders. His indiscretions had to be dealt with. No matter how godly a man is, God will not let our missteps be overlooked. God loves us, and therefore we who are his must be punished by him. Not because he is a mean God, but because he is a loving God. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he disciplines. God shall discipline those even he loveth. And it's, once again, God is not a mean God, but God is a loving God. God is the God of love. So Hezekiah's punishment was also tempered with mercy. His punishment was tempered because the mercy came into play in Hezekiah's life. Somebody may say, look at verse number 39 of Isaiah 30, chapter 39 of Isaiah, if you will. And it talks about in the first 8 verses there. Let's look at the first 8 verses of Isaiah 39. At the time of Abion, I can't pronounce the name, the son of Balaam, king of Babylon, sent letters in a present to Hezekiah, for he had heard that he had been sick and was now recovered. And Hezekiah was glad of them and showed them the house of his precious things, the silver and all the gold and the spices and the precious ointment and all the house of his armor and all that was found in his treasure. There was nothing in his house nor in all of his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not. You don't show off everything that God has given you and brag about it. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto Hezekiah and said unto him, what said these men? And from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, they are come from a far country unto me, even from Babylon. And then said he, what have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered, all that is in my house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. Then said Isaiah to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. This is what I want you to take note of, starting here in verse number 6. Behold, the days come that all that is in thy house, and that which thy fathers laid up in store until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord, and of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget. They shall take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. So you say, that's great punishment for a man of God. It is great punishment, but there was some mercy tendered in this promise, in this punishment. Look at the mercy in verse 8. Then said Hezekiah to Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. He said, moreover, there shall be peace and truth in my day. Now you said, where is that mercy at? Well, good is the word of the Lord. There shall be peace and truth in his day. God would be merciful enough to him that he would not have him to see his children suffer because of him. Every now and then, parents get to thinking, if you're a parent and you got kids, you begin to think you don't want to see your children suffer like you had to suffer. You don't want to see your children go through maybe what you had to go through. So there is God's mercy playing a part in there. But the whole matter of the situation is this. If your house is not in order, you are not following the instructions of the Lord. Because he told Hezekiah, he said, get your house, set your house in order. Now, setting one's house in order means that you get everything lined up. It means you get everything put in its proper place. And every now and then, I feel compelled to do this message. I feel the urge to remind the church of this great Bible story. I feel the urge to let the church know that we all have to get prepared for death. I feel the urge to let us know that we need our house in order, for death one day surely shall visit on every one of us. So we would all be well served and be advised to be prepared, for God is coming soon. And Brother William led the song that Jesus is coming soon, and he is. God is coming. But when you go back and you look at this whole story and you wrap it all up, as I'm about to wrap up now, when Hezekiah first got the message, he said that the message said that he was not going to live and he needed to set his house in order. And then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed. There is nothing wrong with, there is no bad time to pray, but a good time to pray is all of the time. Then the Bible says in verse number 3, he began to list his accomplishment. You know, sometimes we speak of our accomplishment, but they're not in the right place. They're not moved. They're not in the right area where we need to make sure they're at. And he said, remember how I beseech thee now. Remember me now, O Lord. I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. But then when the Lord sent his answer. Now I could just imagine that when the Lord sent his answer. Look at verse 5. He said, go and say to Hezekiah, saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee out of this city. I will deliver thee in this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend the city. What am I trying to say? How am I trying to wrap this up? By very simply saying, if you get your house in order, once you get your house in order, then you can prepare to ask the Lord. If you start to prepare to get your house in order, then you can go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord to grant you what you might be looking for. And in Hezekiah's case, it was he wanted to live. And I don't know anyone who doesn't want to live this morning. I don't know anyone who doesn't want to continue to live this life, in this life. When you ask yourself this question this morning, if I got that message, if I was sent that message, if I received that same message that Hezekiah received, how would you react? How would I react? Would I turn and pray, or would I get up and say, I'm going out and start having a good time? If I got that same message that Hezekiah received, would I say, oh Lord, I have been perfect. I had a perfect heart in your sight. Oh Lord, I have done all the things that I should have done in thy sight. Or would you say, I have been lacking? Well, most of us, if we answered honestly, we would have to say we've been lacking. But then, would you turn and go to the Lord in prayer? To the man who has never prayed, he may find it hard to go to prayer. To a man who's been a praying type of a man his entire life, it would be no second thoughts involved. He would simply go to the Lord in prayer. And he would stay in prayer. But I think sometimes to those who have not been praying people, I think that may spur them to become a praying person. And I think that if I was to receive that message, how would I react? Well, I can't tell you exactly how I'll react because I don't know. Because I haven't received that message. But I do know one thing. God has prepared us all in this life to head in one direction, and that's toward death.
See, there's no other direction I can take but to head toward death. From the beginning of my life, I've been headed toward death. And if I received that message, I would take heed to that message. But we know not the day nor the hour when the Lord may come and call upon us to let us know that our time is at hand. But the one thing I've learned in this life is that death is final. There's no more time to get ready. There's no more time to say, I'm going to do better on tomorrow. There's no more time to say, if I just had one more chance. Because your chances are all over now. When you look back on life, how many chances have you actually had? How many times have you been wrong and God has forgiven you and allowed you to continue on this life path? How many times or how much have you thought about death that's coming your way? If you haven't thought about it, you need to consider the fact that death is just a breath away. One breath away from death is all any of us are. One heartbeat away from death. One moment and we could all be wiped out. And yes, God can take you at any time and any place you're at. You don't have to know that it's coming, but Hezekiah was blessed enough to have a message sent unto him. So I ask you this question this morning. Have you worked on your house, setting your house in order? Have you put your house in order? Have you asked the Lord to give you enough time to set the house, your house in order? And have you set an example in front of your family that you're getting your house in order? See, I can tell my kids one thing, but I can show my kids something else. And you need to inventory yourself to see if you're standing in the right manner of getting your house in order. How do I get my house in order? Well, I start to serve the Lord. I do the Lord's will, and I become a better person, a better Christian than I've been in the past. Well, how do I become a member of the Lord's body? Well, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. And to those who have been one time a Christian, but they have suddenly walked astray, then you ask the Lord to forgive you of your discretion. And ask, you come forward, ask the church to pray for you that you may gather strength, that you may continue to be a good serving Christian. And a good serving Christian means that you act the part and do the part, not just say the part. As we together stand and sing the song of invitation.